This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 729. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about the fourth largest city in the United States. It has a network of downtown tunnels, art cars, and rodeo, and of course, the Johnson Space Center, as we go to Houston, Texas. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Houston. I would like to welcome to the show Kerwin McKenzie from PassRider.com, CruisinAltitude.com, DiscoveringHouston.net, and the What's Happening in Travel podcast. Kerwin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. That's quite a mouthful.
Kerwin and I have known each other for years. I don't know how many years at this point. And when I wanted someone to come on the show and talk about Houston, I thought of Kerwin because you live in Houston.
Yep.
And what's your connection with Houston? Have you been there for a long time?
I moved to Houston in 1996 with Continental Airlines at the time. I didn't really like Houston, and I had no idea about Houston. But as an aviation geek, the airline was based here. And I'd worked for Delta, and I lived in Indianapolis for about a year and a half working for ATA, which is no longer around. A friend of mine told me about the job here with Continental, and I moved there in 96, and I'm still here.
Well, and write a blog about Houston. So it's grown on you over the years, I gather.
It has. It really has. It's hot, but every city has their own little weather thing, so it's fine.
Well, why should someone come to Houston, Texas?
Lots of people don't really think about Houston. All they think about when they hear Houston is a space center. But Houston actually has, I think it supposedly had the most restaurant per capita. So there's a lot of food here. It has a really good population mix because of its proximity to Mexico. You get what's called Tex-Mex, which is a kind of mixture of Mexican and Texas food, I guess, or American food, but it's quite good. And there's also other large ethnic populations here. So you'll find there's actually a large Vietnamese population here. And there is actually some folks from the African diaspora that's here as well. There's really a lot more to do than people think. Plus, there's all the major sports teams are here. So there is quite a bit to do that people just don't think about. And all people think about is a space center. But that's just one thing that you can do in Houston.
I cannot verify the top 10 restaurants per capita in the U.S.
Yeah.
List does not seem to have Houston, although strangely enough, it does have my hometown of San Jose, California.
Oh, there you go.
It shows San Francisco as being number one, which I believe because nobody there cooks. But
there you go.
What would you recommend that somebody do when they come to Houston?
I actually have a huge list of things that people can do. I was bored one day, and I came up with, I think, about 45 free things that you can do in Houston.
45 free things?
Yeah.
Okay.
There is no shortage of things to do. In Houston itself, the museum district is actually very large. most people that come to Houston, they are here for oil, because almost all the oil companies have a head office here. They also come down for the medical center. And when United was based here, it might have been the largest employer at the time, but I don't think that's the case anymore. So there is a slew of museums, at least 18 or so, at least 18 free ones anyway. We also have a lot of parks, like any large city. And because there's so much oil money in Houston, there's a lot of people giving money to the parks. And so the parks are actually very well developed and really well kept.
Okay. Well, and as I told you ahead of time, I'm going to get you into more specifics. So where should we start?
All right. So can we talk about transportation?
Sure.
Okay.
Says the airline guy.
Says the airline guy, right? Houston has two airports. There's a Harvey Airport, which up until a few, I guess last week, was dominated by Southwest. But then Southwest is now going to have flights out of Houston Intercontinental, which is the other airport. And the Houston Intercontinental Airport is actually named after George Bush, not the son, but the father.
Right.
Although the Bushes actually live here in Houston. So transportation-wise, there's two airports, and they are actually connected to the city, but by buses.
Okay.
Everybody drives in Houston. So if you come, the best thing for you to do, if you really want to get around the city, I guess, efficiently, is to rent a car. There is a local bus service. There's like the 102 that comes from, it takes about an hour, and it only costs $1.25 to get from Houston Intercontinental to downtown Houston. And then there is the 88, I think it is now, that goes from Houston Hobby into downtown Houston, and that's $1.25.
Okay.
But I would recommend getting a car because it's so easy. The city is very large, and getting a car is probably the best way to get around.
Got it. And then where are we going to start?
We can actually start downtown. So once you get your car, you jump on 45 and you head south into downtown. As you're driving into downtown, you can see the city. Now, if you want, you can stay out by the airports. Either airports have hotels around there, but if you're coming to Houston, you might as well come stay in the city center. You can stay downtown Houston. They have all the major chains are here. There is actually a Marriott, I think it's a Houston Marriott, which has the pool in the shape of the map of Texas. So, yeah, I haven't gone there yet, but it's actually quite cool. I've seen pictures of it. And there's also the Hilton, which is across from the George R. Brown Convention Center, because Houston is a big convention city. When they have the quilt show, which due to COVID, we don't have all these things anymore, but when they used to have the quilt show, you could not find a hotel room in Houston. Hmm. And the city is about, I think we're up to 7.5 million people in Houston. It is but the fourth largest city in the union. So I would actually get downtown. And once you're downtown, there is Discovery Green. And Discovery Green is actually a park, and it's right by the George R. Brown Convention Center. And it literally sits between the Marriott on one side and the Hilton on the other side. Mm-hmm. And off to the left of that is the Minute Maid Park, which is where the baseball team, the Houston Astros, plays. Now, if one thing about Minute Maid Park is if you're into trains, and Houston is a very old city, if you go to most U.S. cities, you'll find a Union Station, right?
Sure, right.
And most of them are still being used as stations. Well, the one in Houston is not. It is now where when you go to the Astros game, that is the hall, the big hall that you normally have for stations. They've turned that into the entrance to the ballpark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I mean, it's grand, of course, as all those stations are. Now, unfortunately, the actual train station is like a little, I wouldn't say it's a trailer park, but it's about like, it's really tiny. And it's not what it used to be back in the heyday. Matter of fact, if you can take a train into Houston, but it's very difficult to get to Houston. Like, you usually have to go through probably New Orleans or San Antonio or something like that. Or you could take Amtrak to get to Houston. Now, downtown itself have their very old churches, different denominations, so there's that to see. There are some old buildings that I think they're actually protected by the city, because Houston, a lot of commerce used to happen in Houston, in downtown Houston. Mm-hmm. And so there's a part of the city, it's near Franklin Street. Actually, it's in the courthouse area.
Okay.
And the courthouse areas are a lot of old. If you're into like architecture, and you walk to the courthouse building. The neat thing about it is that you can see the real old courthouse, and then you see the brand spanking new courthouse like right across the street. So you can compare the architecture. The other thing about downtown Houston is if you walk the entire city, almost the entire city, our downtown is connected by tunnels.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The reason why it's connected is because Houston gets so hot. Yes. It's over 100 degrees in the summertime.
And humid.
And very humid. Yeah. Yes. Which is why everybody drives everywhere. When I first moved here, I used to work almost downtown. And when I went downtown, I didn't see anyone. And I'm like, well, I don't get it. Why is there nobody downtown? All the buildings are there, but you see no one. Well, inside the buildings, they have these little walkways that take you underneath the city. Hmm. And they have like a whole map, and it tells you exactly where you are, and it has like a list. It's basically a street map underneath the city.
Well, it's funny, as cities like Toronto have the same thing, but for snow.
So, exactly. And I think Minneapolis has something
similar.
Minneapolis
has it one story up. Yeah, exactly.
So Houston is completely underground. So you can actually walk from one side of the city to the next without coming up. And underneath the city, there's all these restaurants and all this commerce that goes on underneath the city. Now, sadly, because Houston floods, that part of the city did flood at one point. I think one of the hurricanes that came through here had the city flooded.
Got it. Well, and while you're paused here for a second, I still have to stop and say, one of the reasons we're doing this show is the fact that Houston is the fourth largest city in the U.S. And that caught me by surprise when I learned that.
Yeah.
Because, in fact, of the 10 largest cities in the U.S., three of them are in Texas. Houston, San Antonio, and Dallas are all on that list. And when did Houston get to be so big? I feel like I missed a memo.
It kind of crept up on you. Well, you know what? They've always been, ever since I've lived here, it's always been the fourth largest city. But when I first moved here, it was like 5.5 million. And now it's like another 2 million people popped up. It's weird because you would think that because it's so big, it would be like more famous than the Dallas or the Austins or South, something like that. But it's not. And I think it's because people just don't think about, all you think about when you think here of Houston is a space center. And the space center, it is, if you're a space geek, it is very cool. I had taken a trip years ago when we actually had the space shuttle. They still have a space shuttle down there, and also the 747 that used to fly the space shuttle around. One of them is there when you go to entrance, and the space shuttle is sitting on top. When the space program was dismantled, Houston didn't actually get one of the flying shuttles. I think they got one of the test ones or something like that.
Well, as I recall, they sold those off.
Yeah, there was a big hubbub as to why we didn't get one. But there is a model down there you can go and see. The interesting thing is that they gave us a tour through the building. And the lady said, well, every time I see an astronaut, I'm just going to touch the side of my face. And so she goes, but don't freak out. Don't say hello to them. Just walk. And every time she kept touching her face, I'm like, oh, wow, really? Really? And I went to Embry-Riddle in Daytona Beach, and we used to go to launches. I think I've seen at least one or two space shuttle launch. So when I first went down to see that, that was very good. So you can still go see the space shuttle because they still monitor the space station. And you do need a car because there is actually a bus that goes down there, but I think it only runs during the week and it has a weird schedule. So you definitely need a car to go down there. The other thing that you could do is, and I guess I'm jumping around because I'm already out of downtown, right?
Well, let's go back to downtown and let's go back to the space station.
The space station is actually like probably within an hour outside of Houston.
The Space Center.
The Space Center, yeah. But if you go back to downtown, there's a Houston Aquarium, and I've actually not been to the aquarium. But I think it is actually, if not the number one attraction in the city, it's like the number two attraction, which is interesting. There's also the zoo. It's at Herman Park, and Herman Park is huge. It is one of the places where you can go to the Miller Outdoor Theater, and they actually have free, it's one of the free things you can do in Houston. They have these, I guess, performances, and you can sit on the lawn outside the theater, and you can watch the performance. If you actually want to get a seat, I think under the dome thing, then I think you pay for that. But you're very welcome to sit on the lawn and watch the performances. And that's inside Herman Park. And in Herman Park, there's also the Japanese Garden. And it is very amazing. And when they had the Japanese festivals, which they normally have. But geez, COVID has changed so many things, hasn't it?
we're sort of assuming that we're talking about a time when we can travel again. But
But when I reminisce about the kind of things you can do in Houston, you go, wow. And so when they have a Japanese festival, they'll come and they'll do tea and stuff like that for you. So you get a part of the culture. But it's a beautiful, beautiful park with that bonsai and things that are traditionally Japanese. The other part of that area is one of the famous universities here in Houston is Rice University.
Sure. That's the only one I've been to. The only time I've been to Houston was for recruiting at Rice.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you were very close to Herman Park.
Okay. I did not know that.
Right across the train track from there. Because there is a train. So if you're downtown, there's a train that goes from the medical center, which is very close to Herman Park. And that train actually goes into downtown. The University of Houston is where it goes on the other side. And the University of Houston, is one of the campuses, is actually downtown. It's $1.25 to take that train as well. And that train will take you through the museum district. There are a ton of museums that are free in that area. That's very worthy and worthwhile to check out.
Do you have a favorite one that's down that way?
So there is one. It's not all the way down in there. It's like at the beginning of the museum district. It's actually at the Buffalo Soldier Museum.
That one caught my eye because I'm not sure that everybody knows who the Buffalo Soldiers were. But as a history buff, I've never seen a museum dedicated to the Buffalo Soldiers. So we're talking about the African-American, or whatever they were called at the time, in the opening up of the West, the all African-American cavalry regiments. Called the Buffalo Soldiers because the Native Americans thought their hair looked like the hair of the buffalo.
It's crazy, isn't it?
So tell me more about that museum, because that one, it did, again, catch my eye.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that one is they have a day when you can go, I think it's like on Thursday evenings when you can go for free. But they have a lot of like the clothes and all the uniforms and the armory and things like that that the soldiers had used. And it's good to go back and see that, because a lot of the history in the U.S. doesn't talk about how the black soldiers contributed to, I guess, to the U.S. history. So this is actually very good. And of course, it's all volunteers that work there as well. One thing they do is that if you want to hold like a party or something, they do that as well. They take like a few days a week that you can actually rent a place to do that. So you can have a birthday party or something. It's a good place to go and see a part of the history of African Americans in the U.S.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Any other favorite museums? As long as we're talking museums, we don't have to talk about all of them.
There is one called the McNeil Collection.
Okay. Art museum.
Yeah, and so this one is in the middle of a neighborhood, and I actually think outside of the museum is actually more beautiful than inside the museum.
I can think of other museums that way. So it's a modern art museum is what you're telling me.
It's a modern art museum, yeah, and it's a beautiful building, but it's set in an area, it's an old, Houston have a lot of these old districts, and this district is, I think it's Montrose, it's the name of that area. And so a lot of the homes in this neighborhood are original homes. And the museum is just kind of set in that area. And all the trees are very old. So you're driving down the street and all the trees are overlapping. And there's a park next door. And the museum itself sits on a huge lot that actually have an area that you can hang out on. That would probably be my other favorite museum here in the city.
Got it.
Now, we were talking about food. Houston has a few places that are... they kind of hold in the wall places, but the food is really good. So in downtown, there's a place called Hubcap Grill. When you go, you'll see, because they actually have hubcaps on the outside. The burgers are amazing, and it's all cash. That's in the downtown area. Now, the other place that's really good, they say they have the best burgers in Houston, and I'm inclined to believe them, but they're actually in the Greyhound station. So the problem with the Greyhound bus station is, for me, it's the worst part of the city.
Okay. As it tends to be in many cities.
Exactly, right? It's just that they haven't really done much to clean up this part of the city. So usually when you go, there's a whole bunch of people hanging out outside the station. So if you can get beyond all the people hanging out outside the station, the burgers inside are quite good.
And the name of this is...
I don't know the name of the store, but it's the name of the place, but it's just a Greyhound bus station. I mean, it's the only one we have downtown Houston. But the burgers are really, really good there. There's another place called Langford's, which is another hole-in-the-wall place. And that is also in the downtown. It's Langfords, I think is how you spell it. It's a family-owned place. And again, it's all cash. But these are places that I used to work downtown. So I do lunch at the Hubcap Grill. I couldn't really convince my friends to come with me to the to the Greyhound bus station.
I would go with you.
It really does have good food. When it comes to food downtown, there are a lot of Vietnamese places. Are you familiar with banh mi sandwiches?
Sure, yeah. Tend to be, you see the French influence on what used to be French Indochina, because it's usually on a baguette.
Yes.
But with very non-French seasoning and innards or whatever. Yeah, the area where I live in the U.S. is the second largest Vietnamese population, or at least used to be outside of Vietnam. So we have good Vietnamese sandwiches here as well.
Butcher Box is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first Butcher Box. I've got packed with dry ice came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping as always, curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. Also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to ButcherBox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
Yeah, there you go.
I love a good Vietnamese sandwich, too.
I know, they're just so good, right? And so in this part of Houston, the streets actually have a Vietnamese name and an English name.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it is a Vietnamese neighborhood. And there's a place called Cali, C-A-L-I. So the customer service at Cali is amazing. The lady and her son that runs it, I'll walk in, and sometimes I want to have something different, and they just rattle off my sandwich. And I go, okay, all right, I'll have that. And it's cheap. It's like, well, it's probably gone up now, but you would pay, I think it was like $3 for the sandwich. I normally had the chicken sandwich, and I have it lightly toasted, no butter. And so they always have it well done and made. And the food is good. The lunchtime, of course, they usually crowd at lunchtime. And they open at 11, so don't go before that.
And I see that I can also get my pho there if I'm so inclined.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can.
The Vietnamese soup. It spells a P-H-O, but not pronounced that way.
I always get that wrong. So Houston, every April, they have what's called the Art Car Show. And this is where people take their really nice cars and paint them and put some of them have like a whole garden on top of them. They call them art cars, the art car design. And this year they were going to have the art bike, but that didn't happen. So hopefully next year they'll have that. But they do have a museum where you can actually go and see these cars. And occasionally you'll see them driving around the city. But they have a parade downtown, and it's actually very, very good to see that. So that's another one of the funky museums that's in Houston.
Cool. Anything else we want to do downtown before we leave the downtown area?
No, I think that's probably it for downtown, because you're going to do the museum district. If you want to see where the basketball team plays, you can see that. It's at the Toyota Center. Okay. That's also downtown. So downtown has the Toyota Center, and it also has the Minute Maid Park. So you can see baseball and basketball downtown. The football team plays, it's not downtown, it's just outside of downtown, but it's not too far away. There is a cemetery, and it is called College Park Cemetery.
Okay.
The reason why this cemetery is significant is, so Houston was segregated way back, I guess, in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And this cemetery, it's the, I think it's the largest black cemetery in Houston. So people used to be buried, black people used to be buried in a different part of Houston from the white people. And this College Park Cemetery is actually on the other side of town from the white cemetery. And it's so interesting because Howard Hughes, and if you guys are familiar with Howard Hughes,
sure,
he's the aviation guy who built the Spruce Goose that flew for like a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, he's buried in the white cemetery. As an aviation geek, I went to see it, and it's actually an amazing mausoleum and stuff that they have set up. But on the black cemetery side, there's a lady called Lucy Waller. She used to work for, I think the guy at the time was the owner of Texaco. And when she died, they wanted her to be buried in the white cemetery. And this guy's the richest guy in Texas at the time, and he couldn't get it done. They were like, nope, it's not going to happen. And so what they did, but she was a family. She used to take care of all the children and all that kind of stuff. And so what they did in that cemetery, if you go all, I think all the headstones are facing, I think it's east. So they can see, I guess, the rising sun, I think is how it goes. But this one is not. This one is actually pointing towards the other cemetery. And the guy who explained the story says it's because they had her headstone facing the other cemetery. So even in death, she could still take care of the children that she was taking care of at the time. So it's called College Park Cemetery. And the thing is that it is right in the middle of this area because they're actually just building up a housing thing on one side. And their house is like on three sides around it because it faces a main road. And it's interesting to go see. There's a lot of black history in that cemetery.
Got it. Where to next?
So Houston has a few things that are just outside. So Houston is divided. So there's downtown Houston. There's hotels and stuff you can stay in downtown Houston. There's also the Galleria area, which is the shopping mall and the Galleria. And there's also hotels that you can stay there too. And then, of course, you can, if you want to stay, yeah, there's hotels at either airport. And speaking of airport, if you're an aviation geek, you should really go see the 1940s air terminal. And this is kind of why you need a car, because you need to be able to get to get around. The 1940s air terminal is at Hobby Airport. And the other terminal in the U.S. that looks almost like it is the one in Long Beach.
Okay.
And because back then, all those terminals used to be built in a kind of specific way. The control tower, the glass control tower used to be on the top. And they're about three stories high. And this one is reminiscent of that. Inside is, it's like a Continental Airlines museum because it has like old flight attendants uniforms and all kinds of memorabilia inside of there and pilots and things like that. So you can see it. And if you just go out through the door on the airport side, you can sit and watch the airplanes take off.
Got it.
And land at
a
hobby
airport.
I used
to do that as a kid at the local airport where I lived.
Oh, yeah. So it's definitely worthwhile to go see that. And they have some planes and stuff outside that you can see. Now, going a little further out of the city is the San Jacinto Monument. And that one, if you're driving on I-10, because I-10 runs through Houston. And sadly, sometime when it rains, it's flooded and you can't pass it. You have to wait a few hours for the water to go down. If you come to Houston during the rainy season, that's what happens.
Which is when?
It is usually in the summer.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
When would you recommend we come to Houston? So if we come in the summer, it's going to be hot and rainy.
It is going to be hot and rainy, but you still have really good days. Okay. And that's why you're in a car, so you don't walk around in the heat, right? So you'll be fine.
So what's the best time of year to be in Houston?
the summer is the better time. The early summer, not the late summer, because the late summer is usually when the hurricanes decide to stop by and say, the early summer, it's not too bad. And then a lot of people actually go out of Houston as soon as the summer breaks, so there'll be less people around because everyone wants to get out of the city and go visit other places. There's usually quite the exodus to Europe. So as an airline employee, when you're trying to get to Europe in the summertime, it's really very difficult. You can go see the San Jacinto Monument, and there is something called Battleship Texas.
Well, and you say the San Jacinto Monument. Let's not assume that everybody's up on their Texas history.
Oh.
But this would be the battle where everybody was yelling, "Remember the Alamo," where the Texans gained their independence from Mexico.
Yep, that's the place.
With General Sam Houston.
Exactly. Who
oddly enough, was named after the town, right? Or the other way around, yeah.
Probably the other way around. The thing with Sam Houston is his statue is near Herman Park in the Museum District. So when you went to Rice University, it's right across from the fountain that you might have passed when you're going to Rice University. But yeah, so the San Jacinto Monument, you can go all the way up to the top. And if it's a clear day, you can see the city of Houston. You'll get a really good view of the Houston Ship Channel. There's a lot of ships that are usually coming in. One little quirky thing to do when you're down there is, so to cross the ship channel, it gets very narrow when it comes in and it opens up again. Mm-hmm. So what they have is a road. It stops and then there's a barge. And you can put cars on it. And that's how you cross that little stretch. Hmm. And the stretch is about the width of one of those tankers that comes in. You can't swim across it. It's pretty deep and dangerous and all that. But it's very short. But it probably takes like 2 minutes or so to cross it. But it's very cool. So you just pull up, you wait for the ferry to come, and you drive on it. And they close the little barriers, and then they take you across, and then you continue. And when you continue on the other side, that will take you to I-10. So if you're driving on I-10 and you spot the monument, you can just keep the monument in sight, and the road will take you all the way into there. It's pretty incredible to see. And everything is bigger in Texas, they say. And there's a battleship there, which is Battleship Texas. But I believe that they were going to move it and refurbish it. And I don't know if it was going to come back.
Got it.
Yeah, so just check and make sure that it's still there when you come to visit.
Well, and that is I was going to say World War II era, but it was actually commissioned well before that and was aging by the time the World War II started. It's kind of the generation before. I think it's the same generation as the Arizona, if I am remembering correctly.
It does look like the Arizona, as a matter of fact. It's probably the same generation, yeah.
I could be mistaken. Best side trip from Houston?
Now, Houston Texas is pretty flat. Mm-hmm. But there is the Texas Hill Country.
Right.
That is actually worth going, but that is really far away. It's like 3 hours, 3.5 hours. You almost pass San Antonio and keep going.
Three hours from a Californian, 3 hours is not far. It depends on what part of the country you're from. So you're heading up towards Austin.
You're heading towards San Antonio as opposed to heading towards Austin. The reason why I like the Texas Hill Country is you just don't think you're in Texas anymore because Texas is flat, except when you get to the El Paso and the border and stuff like that. Then it starts getting a little mountainous, somewhat mountainous. But it's just rolling hills, and it's just amazing. And it's very green. The weather is slightly different. It's actually a little cooler. The other place is Fredericksburg, which is not as far away as the Texas Hill Country. And Fredericksburg is like you stepped into Germany.
Right.
Yeah.
I have not been there, but I've talked to them at various shows about going there, yeah.
It is very cool. The other place that's interesting is Luckenbach, which happens to be population is like 3 people. And I think the only way it became famous is that I think Willie Nelson had a concert there or something like that. But it's like, I don't even know how is that a town. They have like a little sign that says population 3. And there is like a post office and there's a bar and there's a little creek that runs through it. It's almost like a place out of the Western movies. And that's the thing about this area is that as soon as you drive outside of the Houston area, all the houses disappear, of course, and everything is flat. And you can just see for miles and miles and miles. And there's a lot of farmland and there's a lot of cows. All the stereotypes you hear about Houston, you see them as soon as you step outside of the city, because there is a lot of cows. And the ranches have these long driveways that go all the way up to the house in the middle, and then there's a whole bunch of cows around. But that is not in the Houston city itself. That's outside the city. So if you're driving up to Austin or Dallas or stuff like that, you will drive through those areas. It is very beautiful, though. And you can even stop and just listen, and you hear nothing except the cars running next to you. But it's beautiful to see. So those would probably be the side trips.
Now, you didn't take us the other direction. We'd get to the beach.
Oh, yes. Oh, Galveston. Thank you. That's an easy side trip, right? Galveston is about, we're about 50 miles from the ocean. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, as soon as you take off, you see Galveston in the distance. Yeah, you just take I-45 all the way down. You go past the Space Center and just keep going down, and you end up in Galveston, which is actually pretty good. A lot of people in Houston, they will rent houses in Galveston because it's right on the beach. Mm-hmm. That is actually a good side trip. Thanks for reminding me about that one.
And one correction for the one person out there who's listening, who is the big World War One battleship fan, and that is the Texas and the Arizona are not of the same class, but they're the same time period. They were built about 2 years apart, but they're actually two different battleship classes. Okay. So they have similarities, but not the same.
I got that wrong.
It saves me an email later on from someone who.
Yes, it does. It does.
You are standing in the prettiest spot in Houston. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
That would be Herman Park.
Okay.
Inside Herman Park, there's a mound. You can go all the way up to the top. It's like a circular mound, and you go all the way to the top. And then once you're there, you can see all of the park, almost all of the park from there. And it's just a beautiful garden. They've done an amazing job on that. That, I think, is the prettiest part of Houston.
Okay. And one thing that makes you laugh and say, only in Houston?
The odd cars.
Okay.
Yeah, the odd cars are amazing because you see them and you're like, and you go, oh, right, I'm in Houston. That's what happened. Especially the one that has like a whole, the guy has a whole lawn on top of the car that he actually waters and it grows.
Okay.
Yeah.
We talked about burgers and we talked about Vietnamese sandwiches. If you were in Austin, we'd say you have to get the barbecue. If you're in Houston, what's the one most Houston thing you ought to eat?
Well, I'm going to be yelled at if I don't say you need to get some Texas barbecue.
And the best place in Houston for Texas barbecue?
The Good Company actually has really good barbecues. A Goode Company. Yeah, you definitely have to have the Texas barbecue. So if you're here in the rodeo, which is early in the year, I'm trying to think of when exactly is the rodeo now, but the rodeo is really big. So if you come at that time of the year, they have these cook-offs. And basically, all these guys and, I guess, ladies around Texas, they'll come to the stadium, which is where the Astrodome is. And there's a whole thing about whether we should get rid of it or not, but it's still here.
Oh, I didn't realize it was still there. I assumed they tore it down. Okay.
And the new stadium is across the way on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they've gotten rid of it, because there's a whole thing about whether they should get rid of it or not.
And the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo is in March.
You see, and maybe this is another only in Houston. I mean, people riding on chuck wagons. Yeah, they're coming in chuck wagons. Okay. And they hang out in like Memorial Park, which is one of the bigger parks in the city. And then there's a parade, and they go from there down to where the Astrodome is, and they have a big thing down there. When you come for the rodeo, the food and everything is amazing. So if you're here during rodeo time, you really need to go. And they have all these concerts. I've not been to any of the concerts, but they have a concert like every night or something like that.
Well, and it looks like the barbecue contest precedes the rodeo a little bit. It's in late.
Yeah.
The one scheduled for next year, 2021, is in late February. We're optimistically, possibly.
Exactly. We'll see. Well, actually, when COVID happened, it was about the same time as the rodeo, and they had to stop the rodeo in the middle of it as it was going on. But if you go... How it goes is you can go from a tent to tent and you get the different barbecue from the different houses.
Got it.
And it's really good.
Excellent. Well, our guest again has been Kerwin McKenzie. I'm not going to list off all his sites again, but the one that we've been talking about that's probably the most relevant is discoveringhouston.net. And I'm going to put a link to your 45 free things to do in Houston. Is there another post that we should call attention to people that they should also read before they come to Houston?
That is probably the good one, probably the best
one. All the rest is just garbage, you're saying. No. That's the most appropriate one is what you're telling me. Okay.
Yeah, that is the most appropriate one because it gives you a lot of neat stuff that you can do.
Excellent.
Oh, the one thing too before we go is make sure you go check out the visitor center. A lot of people when they travel don't check out the visitor center, but normally they have like free maps.
Sure.
They have all these coupons and things like that. So Houston has one as well. So it's very good to go check out the visitor center. It's not at the airport. It's actually downtown.
Okay.
Parking is not free downtown, by the way. So make sure you pay at the meter.
Well, and you mentioned side trips into the Hill Country. We do have episodes of the podcast on both Austin and San Antonio in case you want to make this a longer trip with places in the area. A guest again has been Kerwin McKenzie. Kerwin, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Houston.
Chris, thank you so much. And I hope I've given some really good information to your guest.
I'd like to send out a thanks to all the people who support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/amateurtraveler, and especially to our latest patron, who is Ramanand Mandiam. I got an email from Cullen recently, and he was making some suggestions on changes to the show, which I don't always listen to, but one of the things that he was saying is he was interested in more topical episodes of Amateur Traveler, and he was unaware that I do another travel podcast, and it occurred to me that many of you may also be unaware that since 2009, I've also been doing a show called This Week in Travel with co-hosts. Currently, I have three co-hosts, Gary Arndt, Jen Leo, and Spud Hilton. And we will bring somebody else on the show and we will do various news-related things, which used to be an Amateur Traveler. If you listen to really old episodes of Amateur Traveler, they had a news segment, but I took that out when we put that into This Week in Travel. And then we also then usually have a guest and we'll talk about budget travel to Europe, or we'll talk about living abroad, or we'll talk about RVing or something else of a more topical nature. So you can check that out at This Week in Travel. And then I should also say that my co-host, Gary Arndt, who's been a guest on this show many times, actually one of our more popular guests, he also has a new podcast of his own called Everything Everywhere, which is his website, everything-everywhere.com. And it's a short monologue show about 10, 12 minutes long that tells you something really cool about something, some sort of trivia, some sort of science, some sort of sports thing. I'm enjoying it. I think you might enjoy it as well. I've been talking about different affiliate links on the show, and one of the news stories you may have heard of is that cruise travel seems to have a new starting date in the U.S., and one of the affiliates we have is cruisedirect.com, which can help you find good prices for cruises on a variety of different cruise lines. So check out amateurtraveler.com/affiliates for that link, as well as a bunch of other travel links. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have a question, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.